FM4 ORF RT/podcast.
Johnny's Audio Odyssey.
I'm here at a London pub called the Plumber's Arms with another world traveler, Tony Giles from the southwest of England. He's almost 40, and he's already been to 125 different countries. That alone is quite an achievement, but there's one other thing as well. Tony is entirely blind and 80% deaf, and he has been for his entire adult life. And this affects everything, including even how he chooses his destinations.
I have maps of the continents. They're tactile, so I can feel them. And they're made of different plastics. So the smooth part of the map is the sea and the ocean. And then the landmass is slightly raised. The rivers are sort of like indented lines across the landmass. And then for each major city, there's like a tactile dot, like a bump. And then next to each bump is like Braille abbreviations. Obviously, the Braille is what blind people used to read. So I could find out where Brazil was, and then Argentina and Chile. And then, right, well, where are we going to next? And then I finally thought, oh, I'll go to Africa.
Was there a moment for you that, like, settled it? Like, this is what I want to do.
It was in New Orleans. Really hot, so it's like 32, 33 degrees Celsius. First time on my own outside the UK or Europe. Completely by myself. Totally blind. 80% deaf. And I'm sweating already. I panicked. I just like stopped, still on the street, like, how do I do this? And I sort of panicked and started shaking. And I took a few deep breaths and I said, Tony, this is what you want. If you don't want it, go back inside the hostel and go home. So I took a few more deep breaths, turned left, walked down the street, found someone to help me to find the tram, and the rest is history.
For you, what's an experience which makes all of the trouble worthwhile?
In my first bungee jump in the middle of nowhere on a bridge, with like two instructors. So I tied this rubber thing around my ankles. One, two, three, and you'd fall forward, basically, into nothingness. And as I drop in, drop in, drop in, and then suddenly, bang! Like my whole body just explodes as I bounce. It's like running into a brick wall. All the wind sort of knocked out of your lungs, and you just bounce and spin around. And
that bungee jumping that you can't see the distance or the height, but you can feel it.
You sense it all. I drove a jet boat as well around a lake. And someone helped me say, left, right, Tony. Try not to crash it.
Was there a moment before you started traveling where you were like, I'd like to get around?
My dad told me stories of his travels, being at sea and going up the St. Lawrence River in Canada and icebergs. And that sounds exciting. It's a challenge. It's a reason to get up each day. Where are we going next?
FM4 Reality Check.
Johnny's Audio Odyssey.
You might know me as FM4's roaming reporter, but actually, I'm nowhere near as hardcore as the guy sitting next to me, Tony Giles, a 39-year-old backpacker from the southwest of England who has been traveling for the last 20 years and has no intention whatsoever of slowing down. Tony is both blind and 80% deaf, but you'd barely know it from how he lives today. So how did this condition develop, and how do you adjust to it and live with it?
As a child, I could see black and white shapes, but I'd never seen colour, and I could actually tell the difference between black letters on white paper when I was little. So I could read and write until I was about 7 or 8. And then my sensitivity to light got lesser and lesser and lesser. I could still see a football moving on grass if it was rolling until I was about 12 or 13. Since then, I'd not really seen much apart from sunlight. So I can still sense sunlight if it's very bright. It's like if you go to a dentist and you sit in the chair and a really bright light annoys your eyes, doesn't it? It's a bit like that. And I went partially deaf when I was 6, and it slowly got worse over the years. So I'm now what they call 80% deaf, or severely deaf, and I use digital hearing aids. And I take them out at night, so I always sleep well. No lights, no sounds.
So all of these are pretty extreme disabilities to have. How did you learn to be independent and go from town to town, let alone around the world?
I went to a boarding school far away from my home when I was 10 and a half to specialist education. That's how I learned to use a long cane and mobility training. I eventually learned to catch buses and trains, and I then started travelling home to see my family when I was sort of 13, 14, and then started backpacking around the UK. My travels really started in 2000 when I went to the States to study.
How do you fund your travels?
So my dad left me a pension when he died. I was 16. I get that every month. It's not a lot of money, about €500, and I use that to travel, and then I get some money from the government. And I try and make some money from my e-books I publish. I got 2 e-books, one called Seeing the World My Way and one called Seeing the Americas My Way. I do okay. I travel cheaply. Couch surfing, that's the way to go. Don't go to Oslo. It's so expensive. The most expensive place in the world.
FM4 Reality Check.
Johnny's Audio Odyssey.
In this week's Audio Odyssey, it's Johnny's Journeys meets Tony's Travels, because here at a London pub, I've met a blind and mostly deaf traveler named Tony Giles, who has been to over 120 different countries. When traveling, you encounter all sorts of situations, and even if you're able-bodied, sometimes you still find yourself in trouble. For Tony, such situations can be even more complicated.
I had a problem when I was in Paraguay, because I accidentally fell in a swimming pool, my hearing got wet, so I needed to find some batteries. And there weren't any shops anywhere, so I kept walking around like showing people these batteries. And eventually this lady said, "Oh, see, see." And she took me to this shop and showed them the batteries, and they got some batteries. But that was lucky.
When you've been to tropical areas, have you had to worry about, like, malaria or dengue fever?
If I got anything like malaria or dengue, it would kill me. It would shut my kidneys down. I don't really worry about danger. I was quite aware when I was walking around Thailand that I could fall into open holes or fall in the river. And sometimes I get very close to an edge, and I think, my cane goes over the edge of a high cliff or something. Or sometimes on the platforms, on the train station, sometimes I'm closer to the edge and I realise. I crossed from Senegal into Mali on the day they had a military coup d'etat, and the country closed the borders and the army kicked the government out. I didn't know anything about it. I was in the north of the country, and it was happening down in the capital in the south. And it should have taken me 12 hours to get to the capital by bus, and it took me 2 days, and I had to sleep on the street one night. And then another occasion, I was arrested on the border between Kenya and Ethiopia because we had apparently crossed the border illegally. We just gave them like a couple of euros each, and it was okay.
You get a lot of help from people while you're traveling. Are there also people who try to take advantage of you?
Yeah, of course, yeah. I mean, people like shortchange me. Like, I had a laptop stolen on a night train between Bulgaria and Serbia. The weirdest one was I was in a church in Sofia in Bulgaria, and I asked this guy to take a photo of me, and then he walked off with the camera. I had everything stolen camping in Canada, my tent and my backpacks. I was camping in a field, and I went out for the day, put a padlock on it, got back at about 10 o'clock at night and walking up and down trying to find it with my stick. It was all gone. So we went to the police, and they said, "Oh, maybe a grizzly bear stole it." So things like that happen.
A lot of the things you've told me about that can go wrong could also happen to me, and I can see. So
exactly.
It's like, you take a lot of photographs which you'll never see.
I take pictures because I think it's funny, and the idea of a blind person taking pictures just look like mess with sight of people's minds. And then I thought, if I'm visiting all these places, I should take pictures so I've got evidence, because like, someone could say, you're just sat at home making all this up, which I could be. Especially with the internet. So I got evidence, actual proof I've been there.
FM4 Reality Check.
Johnny's Audio Odyssey.
This week's Odyssey has brought me to London to meet a fellow traveler named Tony Giles. He's a truly amazing traveler who's been to 125 countries, twice as many as I have, even though he's blind and mostly deaf. If you can't see or hear properly, you have to rely much more on your other senses, and I'm completely blown away by the way that Tony manages to do this on his own travels.
Sometimes I travel with my girlfriend who's also blind. I only sort of safe countries like the US and Europe, Australia. She likes to sleep in a nice bed with a private bathroom. I'll sleep anywhere. So it doesn't bother me. I don't see the dirt.
Yeah, fair enough. Which of your senses are most attuned?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of using them all together that gives me that picture of the world. That smell, sound, people talking in their own languages, and the hustle and bustle of markets, or the traffic on a busy street. Zoom, zoom. The cars are passing you. That's how I sort of use to try and sort of maintain a straight line. So I think it's all the senses together. I'm very spatially aware. I don't know if you call it a sense, but my memory is probably my biggest asset, my biggest skill. I had to know, if I put something down on the table, I have to remember where it is because I can't look at it. If I walk down a street to a restaurant or to a shop, someone might help me go there the first time, and then I remember as I'm walking, and I go, we turn left, we turn right. I feel it, remember it, and I can get myself back to where I was staying.
I guess you have to be a very good detective sometimes to figure out what's going on.
Yeah, whereas most people use their eyesight to work out what's going on, how to cross the street, etc. I have to use my brain. So you need clues, especially in social situations where it's busy and noisy. You know, something just started cheering, but what's going on there? And sometimes you get the wrong end of the story. The other thing that did happen a couple of years ago was we were on the beach in a seaside place, and I was listening to the sea, trying to judge which way it was going, and I thought it was going out, and then I suddenly realised our feet are getting wet, And then the ocean's coming in, so we managed to stand on this rock, and my girlfriend was sort of panicking and jump off here. So we jumped off into the mud. The sea's coming in quicker and quicker. Splashed out of the sea and running up the beach. All seawater everywhere. That was a bit dramatic.
Have you gotten caught in bad weather? What's that like?
Yeah, I've been in a few storms. The wind's really a real problem for me because it takes away my hearing, goes over the microphones. It takes all the sense of direction away. So sometimes I'll just stop in the middle of the sidewalk because I lost my direction.
FM4 Reality Check.
Johnny's Audio Odyssey.
I'm at a pub in central London where I've met up with a blind and mostly deaf world traveler named Tony Giles. One of his recent trips was to Antarctica, which most people associate with dramatic white landscapes. However, when you can't actually see a place, you get very different first impressions.
It was particularly smelly with all the penguin poo everywhere. We go from the ship on these inflatable rubber dinghies onto these islands. One island, the whale bones just washed up on the shore. I touched a rib bone and it was like as long as my cane, if not longer. Then we went up onto the snow and we walked. Suddenly I'd flip slightly to the right and like my leg had disappeared and the snow was like up to my groin. So, oh. And at one point we were at a almost horizontal wind, like a blizzard. My guide said, Tony, I can see about as much as you at this point. I said, oh, that's good. Keep walking. Then all around you can hear penguins going, they're laughing at you and talking. They tell all the tourists that you must keep 5 meters away from the penguins all the time. But they don't tell the penguins this, so the penguins just waddle up. I have one penguin poo on my foot.
Aww.
Oh, they stink. And people think, oh, it must be absolutely freezing cold, but it's not that cold, really. It's only sort of 1 or 2 degrees, and you just put layers of clothing on. My most memorable experience of that whole trip was hearing a humpback whale come up and blow next to the ship. It went, it was like 20 seconds, and I heard it. Oh.
Would you have any tips for somebody like you just starting out?
Well, yeah, definitely take a spare cane with you. I would say anyone who wants to travel to a blind, start off with small trips. So when I was young, I started by going to the States. The country's similar to England, I could speak the language, the infrastructure was similar. If you're a bit worried about travelling by yourself, or team up with someone else to go away for the weekend or a few days, see if you like it. If you do, then slowly sort of venture further, then go from there, really. Do your research. That's the crucial thing. First night in a foreign country, have somewhere to stay, and then you can go from there. The worst thing is you turn up in a foreign country and you've got nowhere to sleep, because you'd be arrested in some countries. Another good thing is to take a money belt with you, and that's for all travellers. Wear it under your clothes, put your passport in it and separate your money. Always try to bring a little local currency to each country on visiting, because if you want to change money and you want to use an ATM machine, you have to find someone you can trust. And that can be quite difficult, particularly for a blind person. Nothing's perfect in travelling and things go wrong. That's part of the joy of travelling. That's the excitement, the unknown. But yeah, it's good to have backup plans in case things go very wrong.
Thanks again, Tony, for telling me your stories. If you want to hear more from Tony, you can hear each of this week's episodes on the FMFear 7-day player and as a podcast. I have also written an article about our meeting, and you can find it all at our website, fm4.orf.at.
FMFear Reality Check.
Johnny's Audio Odyssey.